I'm excited because, again, Pastor Richard has asked me basically to share on your series called Money and Me. He shared to me the goal of doing this, and I really appreciate Pastor Richard because he said, you know, I'm not really the type that would like to even talk about money in the pulpit. It's just that I think, how many of you know, Christians need to have a biblical perspective of money. When we talk about money, we only think about, oh, they're going to ask for my money. Let me tell you, the Bible talks more about money than any other topic in the Bible. So it is just as an important subject for us to know. So the goal is to have a biblical understanding of relationship between money and our hearts. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. So that's why it's important that we need to understand that. Now, our topics cover, last week, Pastor Richard talked about the power of money. It has power for good and evil, amen? Depending on how you use money, especially the deceitfulness of wealth and materialism and all of that. We need to be aware of that. Today, I want to talk to you about God is our faithful provider. Hallelujah. That's what I'm assigning. Next week, I think Pastor Richard, if he will complete by looking at priorities, that God takes care of those who trust in Him first. And so today, I want to look at our topic, God is our provider. Just to look at the core verses for this topic, I know that some of you don't have microscopic eyes. It is Matthew 7:7. Allow me to just read this. If you have your Bibles or smartphones that have Bibles, you can follow along. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? Verse 11, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Philippians 4:19 says, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Jesus Christ. And in Psalms 54:4, surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustained me. Can we just commit this time in a word of prayer? Father, bless this time. Lord, open our ears to hear. Many of these scriptures are familiar to us. Lord, help us to not just show this away, but Father, to hear from your Spirit. Lord God, I pray that your word will continue to change our perspective about money, that we would see it the way you see it, and that would be faithful stewards of the wealth and the blessings that you've entrusted to us. We give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I mentioned earlier that the Bible, the subject about money, is interesting. It's sometimes controversial also. And a lot of the misconception happens because of our lack of biblical understanding of what money is all about. And hence, this is why we have this series. The Bible has much to say about money. Jesus himself spoke about money more than any subject except the subject about the kingdom of God. So the next would be about money. Of the 39 parables, now of course not all of the parables, but 11 of those parables talk about money. And because we need money, I know the Bible in the book of Matthew talks about, do not worry about food, what you will eat, clothes, what you will wear, and all of that. But that's all money. That all translates to money. Have you ever left your wallet? It is embarrassing because, you know, you thought you're okay, but and then you have to eat for lunch, and it's so embarrassing. You don't have money, or you have to pay something. And we need money. We realize we need money every day. It may not be a huge amount of money, but we all do need money every day. One of the biggest causes for worries among people today is in the area of money. Unfortunately, money has also becomes a universal symbol for greed. Although there is nothing inherently wrong with money. Money could be used for good or for evil. Money has always been neutral. It is wrong to perceive riches is wrong or wealth is wrong. Now, I know Proverbs talk about, Lord, don't make me become so wealthy I might forget you. There is always the danger that your heart could get this, you could be deceived by wealth. But nothing is inherently wrong with money. It's how and where you spend your money that tells us where your heart is. If you look at the record of your checkbook, where are those money going? How much of that reflects the honor of God? Amen? I mean, if we as Christians are not careful, instead of using money to glorify God, to advance His kingdom, Christians can get ensnared by the deceitfulness of wealth. This is why Pastor Richard took the time to explain that to us last week. Jesus clearly said, we cannot serve both God and money. Just because we cannot serve money doesn't mean money's wrong. Amen? We just want to make sure money serves God, not treat money like your master or be controlled by your money. Somebody said, describe the deceitfulness of wealth this way. He said, money can buy bed. Because do you know that Ecclesiastes 10:19 says money is the answer to everything? We would like to believe that money is the answer to everything in its right context. But I'll tell you this, this is so true. Money can buy bed, but it cannot buy sleep. Your money can buy amusement, but it cannot buy happiness. People always think, if only I'll have money, I'll be happy. How many of you know the most miserable people in the world are people that do not lack money? Money is never their problem. Money can buy companions, but it can never buy friends. It can buy books. It cannot buy brains. You can buy a house with your money, but it cannot buy a home. How many homes are destroyed because of money? You know, as a ministry, when we were very young, because of the leanness of the provision, we've always walked in step with God, always trusting Him for provision. You know what the greatest challenge of victory is today? Prosperity. Now that there is so much abundance of finances and so many people, we find ourselves in the most challenging place, that how do we walk to make sure we honor God with the resources that He has entrusted to us. It is more challenging to have money than it is to be in lack. Because to be in lack, you always look to God. But when abundance begins to come, sometimes like the children of Israel, they begin to forget God. They turn towards other things. It's very dangerous. Money can buy medicine, but it cannot buy health. One of the richest men in the world, Steve Jobs. You know, he has all the money in the world. He has more money than most nations. But he cannot buy health. Your money can buy flattery, but it cannot buy respect. And so, this is just something to cause us to be aware of. Gallup poll revealed that 64 of all couples argue over money issues. And 54% of all divorces are over money issues, which makes money now the leading cause for all divorces. This is why all the more we need to be equipped as Christians. We need to be trained to be good stewards, how to handle money, how to manage God's resources, not be threatened by it. Amen? So money is always neutral. Our attitude in the use of money is what determines whether money becomes good or evil, whether money is slave or our master. The problem comes from position they occupy in our lives and our attitude towards them. I must tell you too that there are many, many wealthy Christians and they are doing well because they're using their wealth to honor God and advance His kingdom. I wish all of you become wealthy. I wish. Be aware that there are perils for people who pursue riches, but I would rather be rich and be honoring to God, amen, than being poor and really not have much impact. Now, of course, not having much, it's not nothing wrong with it. Amen? There are seasons in our lives, and this is the way God has fashioned it. It builds our confidence in our walk and our trust in God and dependence on God completely. 1 Timothy 6:9-10, again, another admonition. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. This is just things. This is really when it talks about people who want to get rich are lusting for wealth. Running after wealth for the wrong reasons. And I'm going to balance this off in a moment. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. The biggest misconception for most that are arguing on the other side, who hates wealth and who hates riches and possessions, is because they think that money is evil. It is not. Okay? We need money to run a facility like this. We need money, more money in the future, to buy facilities that we could make disciples and literally touch nation, raise leaders that will impact the world. Amen? Our church will need, I wish many of you become multimillionaires and billionaires for God, so we could finance the work of the kingdom of God. But some people eager for money, lusting for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Oh, as sober as those warnings may be, I've got good news for you. There's also the right way to handle money and riches and overwhelming riches of God. Amen? It is a tool, definitely a tool to advance the kingdom of God. When God blesses you, He blesses you for a purpose. The Bible says we are blessed. Genesis 12 tells us that we are blessed in order to be a blessing. Okay? It says in Genesis 12, the Lord said to Abram, leave your father, your country, leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. He said, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. Why? So you can be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I'll curse. And then God said this, all peoples on earth. Where? Not just Auckland, New Zealand. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. My brothers and sisters, I want each of you to have a healthy perspective of the wealth and the blessings of God on your life. Now, if you are the type in Proverbs that says, Lord, don't give me too much riches or I might forget about you, or if you know yourself that way, if that is a temptation on your life, if that is something you struggle, then so be it. Walk that way soberly. But if you are people whose heart and passion is to give glory to God, amen? Like Jabez, you cry out to God, Lord, bless me. Bless my business because I desire to use them for your glory. Each of you need to have a healthy perspective of the blessings of God on your life. How else, listen to this promise, how else can you fulfill your end of the bargain? What is your commission? To bless the world. How can you bless the world if you are not blessed yourself? I heard Pastor Steve once said, if all you're asking God are things to meet your needs, there's nothing more selfish. Because it's all about my bills, my utilities, tuition fee of my kids, and all about my needs. Let's quit praying for our needs and pray for overflowing above and beyond so we are generous and we could be a blessing to the world. Amen? Don't just stop praying for your own needs. Pray for overflowing blessings. You know, if there's one classic example, it would be the nation of the Philippines. We are considered a third world country. We have 1 million reasons why it can't happen. 80% of our people earns like less than $5 a day in the Philippines. 50% of our people earns $2 a day. But we cannot allow that statistics to define us. Literally, we have sent over 10,000 members of our church to go to the nations, literally touching the world. Today, even the Philippines is really, in terms of contributing to our every nation world, is the biggest giver. Amen? The truth is, all of our travels, I'm ALT, I travel all over Asia. I travel practically 3 countries a month. We don't have Asia funds, you know? All our travels that is called Asia is all Philippine money. It's all the Filipino money sowing to the nations. We could have allow our being third world to define us, but we say no. We want to be a blessing to the nations of the world. We are blessed like Abraham. Amen? That is why, change your perspective. Get rid of the small thinking. My goodness, this is not prosperity teaching. This is not for you to get your big house and your boats. Well, God is not intimidated for you. Getting another vacation house or buying another extra boat as long as you are serving God, God is not intimidated to bless you. Amen? God is not intimidated to bless you. In fact, the Bible says, you will be made rich in every way. How many of you would like to be rich? Not on few things, in every way. Look at that. So that you can be what? Generous. How often? On every occasion. Can you imagine every opportunity to invest into the kingdom? You don't let it pass. You want to give into it. You want to bless somebody. There's a missionary. You want to bless them. There's a church planning. You want to give to that. There's a building project. You want to give to that. Amen. Through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This is why we have to have a right perspective of the blessings of God on our lives. Another way to use money is we don't serve money, but money serve God. Two underlying motives in handling money. Everything is really about the glory of God. When God blesses you, you praise God. Don't be afraid with wealth. As long as your heart's desire is to bring honor and glory to Jesus. We sang that song today about radical love. Take my heart, Lord, it is yours. Take my life, Lord, it is yours. I wish we could inject there. Take my money, Lord, it is yours. Take my wealth, Lord, it is yours. Amen? And secondly, is to affirm Jesus' lordship over our lives. The Bible says we are not our own. We were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies. Everything we are, everything we have, everything we own, we desire to bring glory and honor to God. And the starting point for having a right perspective of finances is no other than God Himself. He's the starting point. I love that this was my assignment. I would rather preach on the first one about the deceitfulness of wealth. But I also love this part. It's providence. It was assigned to me because this is the starting point. There are three things we need to know about God when it comes to money. Number one, that God owns everything. Secondly, that God is our source. And thirdly, that God is our faithful provider. These are three important things we need to keep in mind. Number one, God owns everything, and as such, we have to acknowledge God's lordship. I know that the thought that God owns everything is like a foreign concept to many of us. We would like to think that it is, no, it's my effort. It's my hard work. That's why this is my money. This is my possession. We don't want to argue with that. I believe that's true. Yet the Bible is clear that it is God who gives us the ability to produce wealth. Amen? God's ownership of everything is foreign to many of us. We like to think that somehow it is us who produce this wealth. Yet the Bible makes it clear that God owns everything. It's not here, but Colossians 1:16 says, all things were created by Him and for Him. Everything belongs to God. If there's any lesson we could learn, okay? Deuteronomy 10:14 says, to the Lord your God belongs the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. 1 Chronicles 29:11, for everything in heaven and earth is yours, Lord. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. If there's any lesson we learn from one of the greatest kings in history. And that is a man named Nebuchadnezzar. Look at what he said. All this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months later, as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, he said, is not this the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty? It didn't even take long when the Lord caught him at his words. The words were still on his lips when a voice from heaven said, this is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. You will be driven away from people and will live with wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle. 7 times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes. This is the most powerful king who brags about my strength, my power. And what did God? God made him insane. He lived with wild animals, eating grass like cattle for 7 years. And when God restored his sanity, he learned his lesson. He never bragged about his possessions and his power ever again. In fact, the greatest, one of the most powerful, the greatest worship songs were made out of this prayer. It came as a result of that great lesson. At the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven. And my sanity was restored, and I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified Him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing, me being number one. Because he went crazy for 7 years. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" It reminds me of the rich man. He doesn't know what to do with his wealth. He said, "I'll tear down my smaller barns, build bigger ones." But what did God say to him? "You fool. Your life will be demanded from you. Where will all this wealth go?" Nothing. You cannot take your wealth when you die. Amen? The wisest thing to do is to live for God. For what shall it profit a man if he gains the world? All this world can offer if he forfeits or loses his very self. That's why we live to honor God with our wealth. To give glory to God. 1 Chronicles 29:14. I love this. I love the way David's perspective about wealth. He became the wealthiest man, and at this point, Israel became the zenith of great success. And look how he prayed. This is the last chapter of 1 Chronicles. "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you. And we are simply giving you back what comes from your hands." Do not impress God if you write checks of millions of dollars. It may look like we're some awesome philanthropist, you know, throwing away money for the kingdom. The truth is, the money you gave comes from God. We're only giving back to God what belongs to Him. Church, have the right perspective of money. God owns everything. Amen? God owns everything. Psalms 50:10, "Every animal of the forest is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills. The world is mine and all that is in it." Psalms 50:12. Psalm 24:1, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." Haggai 2:8, "The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the sovereign Lord." You may have a beautiful piece of jewelry, even that belongs to God. God owns everything. So what does that make us? If God owns everything, what does that make us? You know what that makes us? We're stewards. We're stewards. We are managers of God's resources. Some will be blessed, just like the parable of the talents. The parable of the talents, 3 men were given different levels of wealth. One was given more, 10, and the other one was given 5. The other was given 1. The other 2 came back, multiplied their resources. They were faithful in using God's resources for His glory. What happened? God gave them more. The other one was afraid to take risk. He didn't use his talent. He didn't use his resources for the glory of God. He hid it, and he was judged seriously by God. This parable illustrates spiritual truth, that we are to use God's possession not only in a trustworthy way, but in a manner that brings honor and glory to God. We will give an account to God about our stewardship. You know, I'm a simple man. I'm not that wealthy. And everything I have, every little thing I have. When I get my new palm, when I get my, in those days, my palm pilot, That's and as it progresses to even what you call that other one, the trail. I mean, you know, and then the iPhone, iPhone 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and soon 7. Whatever God gave me, I would lay hands on it and said, Lord, use this for your glory. Thank you for this computer, Lord. Use this for your glory. I would lay hands on my car. It may not be the best car, but Lord, thank you for bringing me from point A to point B. Use this for your glory. When I look at my house, I get overwhelmed. Lord, use this for your glory. Use this for your glory. May people be refreshed and blessed. God has blessed me, man. I'm not a businessman. I don't have any inheritance. Because I seek first the kingdom of God, I boldly ask the Lord, because it crossed my mind one day, God, what will happen if anything goes wrong? What would happen to my wife, my children? Lord, maybe the least I can do is to believe you for a home. Believe you for a home. And I did not believe God for a home to look successful, to look comfortable, to look good, you know. But I was just really doing that because my motive was, Lord, I hope my family will not just go jump from one relative to another seeking help. But at least they have some inheritance. And you know, the Lord has answered our prayers. Man, I have a beautiful home God blessed me with. It's not your, of course, your typical homes in the most flashy places. But my house had 7 bedrooms. Every one of them have toilets and baths. They are all fully air-conditioned, all the extra spaces. And when I have guests, guess what? I don't tell them, turn it on this time, turn it off this time. It's all my bill. I believe God for extra cars because I have guests. I want to make sure they have a car if they wanted to use. The gasoline, the toll. There's automatic toll in each car. I never charge them. I never gave them guidelines. I have to trust for provision. If God blesses me with this house, I want to make sure this is a blessing to other people, not just to me. Not just to make me look good. Amen? So believe God for greater. Use your resources to give honor to God. A steward is one who God has entrusted a portion of his riches. They have the privilege and responsibility of taking care of his property and spending his money in ways that honors the Lord. Praise God. Number 2, God is our source. He is our source. Not your job. Not your rich parents. Not your what was endowed to you. Money given to you. Inheritance. Your source is not your bank accounts. It is not your high position in the office. Man, those things can easily go away. We call them our fair weather friends. Things, our circumstances can change. But if your life is founded on Jesus, God forbid that those tragic things happen in your life. But if they do, they happen for a reason. I hope they don't happen to you. That we continue to look to Jesus and to Jesus alone as our source. And the nice thing about God, the world's oil and the world's minerals may run out, but God's resources will never run out. It is unlimited. He owns cattle on 1,000 hills. Hallelujah. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, that does not change like shifting shadows. Every good thing you have, your health, your finances, your beautiful home, your nice car, or your dilapidated car, whatever. You know, be grateful. Be contented with what you have. Thank God for everything you have. Amen? The secret to life is being contented. You know, if God is meeting your needs and you're happy, you don't have to compare yourself with your neighbor. Just keep doing what, serving God, honoring God. Amen? The reason, the biggest enemy of humanity is entitlement. I should be first. Promotion does not come from the east or west. It comes from God. It is only God you please. Amen? In that way, we do not get bitter with others. We do not feel insecure about others. We do not compare ourselves with others. We just keep serving God because God is so good to us. Amen? Be a blessing to other people. Deuteronomy 8:18, you may say to yourself, my power, again, like Nebuchadnezzar, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. This is mine. I work for this. But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability. He is the source. Gives you the ability to produce wealth. So confirms His covenant, which is swore to your forefathers as it is today. These are the wrong sources. Our jobs. Ourselves. Our benefactors. If you're in full-time ministry, we love our ministry partners, but they are not our source. As they give, they are blessed by God. They are giving Yeah, they trust you, they love you, but they're also giving to honor God. They're giving so that their giving will touch nation. It's not our employer. It's not our government. We want our government to deliver this. We want our government to deliver that, and rightly so. People pay taxes. I hope they're wise in managing the resources of the nation, but they are not our source, sad to say. Let me tell you, with my house, if I look to ministry as my source, I'll probably calculate maybe in 200, if the deal is 200 years to pay, maybe I can pay it finally after 200 years. In other words, you would be sorely disappointed if you look at the wrong places as your source. God is my source. And I always tell pastors, if God called you to be an engineer, if God called you to be a pastor, if your God called you to be a campus minister, you better trust God. You better not look at the paycheck. You better not look at the church provision. You better look to God. If I look to ministry, I would never have a house today. I would never have cars. I would never be able to travel. But I look to God as my source. If I tell you these incredible stories of God's provision, it will blow you away. God is so amazing. In fact, I'll tell you this one quick story. We are so faithful. Our ministry was so small, but we were one of the churches in Metro Manila then, way back around 19, at the turn of the 200, like 1999, 200, something like that. In our church, when we were small, my goal was, man, I hope one day summertime, there's no church, everybody is in the nation. That was too extreme, of course, as a pastor. But in one of these moments, we were like 90, almost breaking 100, less than 1 year old church. True enough, God opened a door for us. I was able to send 67 of our members to 5 countries in the 1040 window as a less than 1 year old church. 60% of those who went rode the plane for the first time ever in their entire lives. So you can imagine they're taking a lot of, there's no selfie then, you know, a lot of souvenirs because this was the first time. We were, even though we were so struggling financially, our gaze was fixed on reaching the nations of the world. You know, when we outgrew our center, we are using the auditorium of the University of the Philippines in Manila. When we outgrew that, I said, Lord, we wanted to find a bigger facility. And because we want to maintain our integrity, we want, and the tension was our excellence, we want the best. But yet, we have the reality of our finances. We're only students. So we went boldly to this new building, went and met the owner and said, oh, we need this much space. But we want to be honest with you, sir. This is only our budget. He laughed. For what we wanted this big, exactly the size of this facility is what we needed at that time. He probably could just only give us, for your money, maybe this size will do. So you can imagine, this is almost a joke. He laughed. He was so amused and did not dismiss us, but was gracious. He said, sir, I'll tour you in the building. It's not finished. It's still on construction, almost finishing. Our biggest concern were their gigantic poles. And that's not always a wise to rent play space with those poles that you cannot see in certain areas. But boy, he brought us to the 6th floor. When the elevator opened up, there was nothing in it, bare. Bare, no ceiling, no floor. I mean, it's cement. Everything is just empty. And it make us look at it. I was even wondering, we can afford, why didn't even show us this? To insult us? So he said, well, why don't you guys come back tomorrow? We'll think about it. And when we came back, true enough, he said, how much again can you pay? So we told him, we can only pay this much. He said, well, me and my wife prayed. This is not a member of our church. We just approached this guy. The building, you can tell, because the building is called Joshua Building in front of Philippine General Hospital. And the man said, we prayed, and I think we were going to give this to you for 2 years, rent-free. Wow. Our jaw dropped. But I lose sleep over that. Because I'm thinking, is he tricking us? Because he said, as is. That means we put the floor and he's a businessman. So I thought, man, you know, he put all this. He wants us to spend for all this. So that's exactly the money we'll spend anyway. Maybe he's tricking us. But then God reminded me, the blessings of God makes one rich. And he adds no trouble to it. So if God is blessing me, why am I so troubled? You know what? The first thing I did, I said, I need to move in faith. I challenged the church. We'll take up the offering. the biggest offering we can afford because we're going to start renovating. So the owner met with us 1 week later, said, how's your finances doing? Oh, we have, several hundred thousand pledges. No real money. And it was not even a million. It was just a few hundred thousand, which in Philippine money is not that much. But, oh, good. So we're going to start building the this and that. He said, I don't know why my engineer overordered the tiles. It's imported, but I think it can all fit in your facility. Really? Would you pick it up? So my floor is already finished. Wow, we brought the tiles. We put the floors. And then he asked us again, how are you doing? Oh, things are progressing on our end, you know. I said, I don't know why we can afford only to put the runners, you know, the aluminum runners to put the acoustic, but the acoustic is so expensive. Then he said, I don't know why my engineer overordered the acoustics. Man, and the most expensive one are the lights. True again, few days, how are you doing? Doing well, it's progressing now, we have everything. He said, you know, I don't know why I overordered the lights. Guess what? He basically furnished the whole thing. The only thing missing are the gigantic air condition that I needed to put. And you know what? I made one call to Pastor Joey. He was so encouraged by our story. He said, what is the total cost of the air condition? Done. Take the money. I'll pay for all the air condition. Hallelujah. This is on the sixth floor overlooking the skyline of Manila. Beautiful. But we have one last problem. The heat that competes with the air condition because it's all glass. So I said, let's go to a factory that can maybe class A, you know, little defects, but you cannot notice. So the owner herself came, measured everything, every window, everything, got the quotation. Overwhelming. Billing day comes. She said, the Lord spoke to me to just donate everything to you. Let me tell you, sometimes people are saying, what is this kind of theology? God show favoritism. I thought he doesn't show favoritism. So many people were so envious of us. God is our source. You please God. Let me tell you, this story, I could go on and on. Because even that lady who came, that last lady who came and paid for our for all of our blinds, the blinds that covers the shutters, he said, well, by the way, are you looking for another center in front of De La Salle University? We've been praying for God for a student center. Oh, by the way, I have a full house. If whatever you need, sound equipment, chairs, I'll just donate it to you. Use it. I tell you, it's endless. The blessings are endless. Guys, it would be disappointing if we look to man, even to our ministry, as the source. Your paycheck as your source. It is God who is our source. Amen. 1 Timothy 6:17, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, in investment, in stocks, in properties, which is so uncertain. But put their hope in God who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Just because you are stewards doesn't mean you just do what God wanted you to do. God wants you blessed. God wants you to enjoy life. God wants you to enjoy His blessings. Amen? God wants to bless you for your enjoyment. Finally, God is our provider. He is our provider, faithful provider. In Matthew 7, I'll just look at verse 11. If you then, though you are evil, of course, man, we're not perfect beings. Sometimes we get selfish. If we can show kindness, just imagine the kindness that comes from God. God is so kind. This is the picture of our loving Father. We don't have to beg Him. We don't have to. He gladly gives it to us. He blesses us. This is the heart of our Heavenly Father. Jehovah Jireh, one of the names of God in the Bible, is Lord our provider. The Lord will provide. This becomes a proverb among Jewish people. In the mountain of the Lord will provide. That means He's our source for everything we need. He cares about everything we care about. There's no need so small He doesn't know about it. And nothing too big He can provide for us. Guys, if there's any lesson I learned in life, asking God is for free. If you never receive, it's because you have no audacity to ask God. You have a servant mentality instead of a son and daughter mentality. Because what you ask from God is not purely for you. You want to use it for the glory of God. You want to bless others with the blessing that God has given you. Be audacious. God's calling you to be a church planter. Why be a pitiful church planter, man? If God called you, believe God for the best facility. Amen? Everything. Let God provide for you. But be bold to ask Him. It is His business. We are just servants of God. Why should you limit God by your own sense of false humility? Why should you rob others of the privilege of a great facility? Because, oh, you know, I want to just to be humble. When it comes to the things of God, we make no apologies. Amen? Believing God for the best. Because it is for His use. You know, I'll just skip this. But you know the context of Jehovah Jireh, which is in Genesis chapter 22. But there's one lesson I want to bring to you. You know the story. God asked Abraham to offer Isaac at the altar. Before God provided, there must be obedience. The Lord blessed Abraham extremely because He saw the heart of Abraham is not in wealth, is not in guarding what is precious to him. He was willing to give his most precious possession, his own son. That's why God will not withhold anything from those whose hearts are right with God. God is not intimidated to bless the hearts that are healthy hearts. Hearts that are under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Psalm 111:5, He provides food for those who fear Him. He remembers His covenant forever. Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. You know, I'm a father to my children. I'm not a wealthy father. But I'll tell you, I overwhelmingly bless my children. You know what's the funny thing about that? Oftentimes say, oh, you're not teaching them character. You're not teaching them to believe God for this and that. That might be true. That is one aspect. That is one angle of life. But they have good hearts because I taught them what it means to be generous. Everything I give them that they don't like, I tell them anything I give you from overseas, you know, just because I'm mindful of you, I think about you, give it to your friends. I teach them a sense of generosity. Both at 17 years old, they both have their own cars. They drive their own cars. Now, some you may say, that's irresponsibility. You know what? My daughter, she's so fashionable. Man, you know, she is a recipe for a disaster. But I'll tell you, because of the right foundation laid in their lives, having a right perspective of wealth and money, they never went through a stage of rebellion in their lives. They've never at any point ever displeased me. Because we've taught them generosity. One hand to receive, one hand to give. You know? We always are channels of God's blessing. They understand it. And so therefore their hearts don't wander away. In fact, today, just to show you their heart is right. You know, some people might think they become materialistic. I tell them, what do you need? What do you need? I feel frustrated. But Dad, we don't need anything. We have everything. Can you imagine that? And that is like for many, many years. Do you need this? Do you need that? No, Dad, I'm really good. Wow. And very, very generous to people. To the point that it comes from my pocket. Their generosity. They're so generous. You know what? Our generosity does not come from us. It comes from the Father too, you know. The blessings of God. Matthew 6:26. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, reap, or store away in barns. And yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Just a few more scriptures. My God will meet all your needs according to your riches. Glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Four things, very powerful revelation from this verse. My God will meet all your needs. Number one, it says, God will. He didn't say, I might meet your needs. God will meet your needs. It is a fact. He's staking His character and reputation on it. Second, He will meet all, not some, not few. If your heart is right, God will meet all your needs. Like my kids, what do you need? Dad, I don't need anything. Their needs are all met. Everything they need. Wow. That's why God had to bless me too, to be a blessing to them. Because I'm generous. It doesn't say God will meet all your greeds. He said, I will meet all your needs, not greeds. There's a big difference between needs and wants and wishes. So God will meet, that's what He promised. He said, I will meet your needs according to His wealth. Third, according to His wealth, not our stocks, not based on our asset. It is based on what God has, and He doesn't run out of resources. And finally, through Jesus Christ. This is not a promise that applies to anybody, but this applies to people who Jesus is the Lord of their lives. Amen? You can claim and stand in this promise if Jesus is the Lord of your life and your heart is right with God. In conclusion, again, never put your hope in economy, employer, bank account, because they are all fair weather friends. They all can be helping you greatly one minute, and then the next, everything has changed. God, however, is always faithful. This is why we should always be trusting Him as our provider. Can I just share one more verse in closing? I'll skip that one. I'll show you another one, just this last one, Romans 8:32. He who did not spare His own Son, His most pressured and treasured possession, to bless us, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? That is the proof of God's greatest love for us. Therefore, God can take care of your bills. God can take care of your mortgage. God can take care of your medical expenses. God can take care of everything. Trust Him. He owns everything. He is our source. He is our faithful provider. Amen. Give the Lord a big hand. Thank you, Jesus. Let me pray. Lord, I pray You open the heavens. Even as You've given us a divine revelation to have a healthy perspective of God's blessing, to be blessed so we could be a blessing, I pray, Lord, that You would open the floodgates of heaven and pour out blessings. I pray increase. I prophesy promotion. I pray for divine favor. I pray for the businessmen of this church that You would give them great creative ideas, the ability to make wealth, overwhelming wealth, so that they could honor You and advance Your kingdom. In Jesus' name, bless the works of their hands, and whatever they put their hands will prosper. Deliver us from small thinking. Deliver us just from thinking about our own needs. And help us not only to bless this nation, but to be a blessing to all the nations of the world. We repent for limiting You, God. We repent for our unbelief. And today we declare, You are a faithful God. You will prosper me to be a blessing to this nation and the nations of the world. We give You praise in Jesus' name, and all God's people say, amen. Give the Lord a big hand. Hallelujah.